Welcome to Transition State.
The storybook's been read, and every
All right, radio fans, welcome to Transition State. I'm your host, as always, Adam. And with me, as for the first time, is Mr. David Kai. Welcome, David.
Hello, thank you.
David, can you give me a second? I gotta get that record off.
For sure. So this is exciting. First time on air. Lots of cool things and learning lots on watching Adam work and everything. It's fantastic.
cool. As I drop my headphones. What did you think of that song, David?
It's interesting. It's not something I normally listen to, but it was I guess you could say it's an eye-opener. It reminded me of a little bit of like Blink 182. I don't know if that's something that for somebody that doesn't listen to music of that genre very much, I thought it was interesting.
Yeah, I can hear that. I think, you know, bands like Blink 182 sort of grew out of bands like that. Mm. Do you know what band that was?
I think just talking from earlier before we started the show, it was NoFX, is that
no
right?
NoFX, yeah.
Right, okay, and it's NoFX.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not really the best name, but...
Yeah, and the song's name is The Decline, is that right?
Yes.
Okay, all right, perfect.
Had you ever heard... a song like that before?
Yeah, I think so, but it never really stuck with me. It just it wasn't really my style of music, especially being like Asian Canadian. I don't know, it just didn't grow up with me like that. So
okay, well, let's just break right into satisfying my musical curiosity. So what music did you listen to?
Yeah, okay, so when I was really little, like, I'm an immigrant, so I wasn't born in this
Tell me the story.
Yeah, for sure. So I came to Canada when I was about 10 years old. And at the time, I really listened to whatever my parents listened to in China. And as I got older, it sort of grew with whatever my classmates were listening to, the popular culture or popular scene there. So going back to around 2002, 2003, I think a really popular one's like My Band by Eminem and D12. That was like, so from there, I listened to a lot of rap, mostly Eminem. So a lot of his old stuff, like Cleaning Out My Closet, Stan, all that. And from there, it grew to whatever was on TV. So really just popular music all around. Maybe like Black Eyed Peas was really big back in the day. My Humps, that's one I can think of.
Okay.
Yeah.
So basically like the pop music.
Yeah, for sure. And that's still something I listen to this day. But I sort of diversify a little bit too. So about a year ago, I was trying to get into a little bit of blues and jazz and all that, but then I ended up finding stuff like elevator jazz, so it wasn't what I was looking for, but it was cool. Like, I explored a little bit, found some stuff I liked, found some stuff I didn't like. Recently, I've been listening to a little bit of saxophone as well. Kenny G, he's a really famous saxophone artist. It's been good. Like, I diversify, and a little bit of EDM nowadays too, electronic music.
Yeah.
And what I find with music of all genre is there's always the upbeat and the fast BPM sort of songs, and mm-hmm. there's the ones that slow down. And so, like, no matter what genre you go with, whether it's with vocals, no vocals, you can always find something that soothes your taste. Like, there's always something out there for you to listen to, and that, I think it's fantastic.
Okay. What's your favorite BPM?
It really depends on the mood, you know? Like,
yeah.
So, for me, there's a couple settings. It's like, if it's in the morning, it's nice and sunny outside, I'm cruising, I would prefer something maybe, like, slower pace, like, just upbeat in general, but maybe with a little bit of vocals as well. It's really for the mood. If I'm cruising at night, definitely something a little bit slower. R&B, yeah, that's where it really hits home at night. And if it's, you know, it's like a party or in a maybe like a bar or like an upbeat club setting, then definitely something fast paced. Maybe no vocals. EDM would fit really well there. Stuff like that. I think everyone can agree with me that music really. It caters to the mood, so that's what I think.
Okay. Yeah, I've thought a lot about that question, honestly, and I'm pretty sure I've come to the conclusion right around 140 BPM.
Right.
And my second favorite is half that, 70, where it's like, I realize it's pretty much the same beat. I think it might, like...
Yeah.
I think it might be analogous to, like, the human heartbeat.
About
70 BPM, or twice that, like a funky beat.
Okay, so since we are pharmacy students, the regular human heartbeat per minute is between 60 to 100, is that right?
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, you're right, okay.
Boom. Can we do 70 BPM? Boom.
I think it would be really hard to guess on air. Maybe 60 would be a little bit easier because you would get 60 seconds
per second,
in a minute.
Yeah. Is that even why we chose like the second as the unit as like, is it a... like an approximation of the human heartbeat?
Honestly, I have no idea. But that'd be interesting.
We're out of our depth there. Okay. Then number one favorite song of all time. Do you have one?
That's really hard for me to say. because as I'm growing, I feel like the music I listen to changes a lot. So as I was saying earlier, transitioned from like a little, like really focused just one artist rap into like multi-artist rap and more R&B and whatever's popular now. Like
yeah, so, it's a hard question. How about favorite rapper? Like just right now, who's your favorite rapper?
Oh man, that's another hard question. I really like Nas. I know he's old school, and like as an immigrant, I wasn't exposed to his things. Like even if I were to be born in Canada, his music is a little bit like before when I was born, but it's still like it's nice to listen to some of the things he talk about. Because, you know, as some people just say plainly, he just keeps it real. Like, that's what I like. And that goes for a lot of the other rappers as well. And it's just something I like. I enjoy. Nas is a good one.
Fair enough.
There's a few other ones. It's hard to name off the top of my head. But if we come back to the question, maybe I'll think of something.
Yeah, I think you handled it well. So you mentioned immigration.
Right.
And you came from...
China. Mainland China.
Okay. Do you speak...
I do. It's getting worse every year, but I do communicate with my parents in Mandarin Chinese, and it's a very rigid dialect. That's how I speak with my parents.
Do you know, would you recognize any Cantonese?
Very, very few words. It's very different, and I think it's quite interesting. Also, sort of alludes to like the history of China and how different dynasties conquered different areas and assimilated a lot of different races into China. So even nowadays, like, the Han people is the majority, but there's a lot of, like, sort of minority races that exist within China, and they don't get talked about a lot, but they're always there. So Cantonese is, I would say, probably, like, I guess the biggest, like, other dialect, if you can call it that even. But it's very different from Mandarin Chinese. Mandarin Chinese is four different tonalities, whereas Cantonese, I believe, has nine.
Oh.
And the way they speak it is a lot different than Mandarin. I'm not going to attempt to say anything on air and make a fool of myself, so I'll just leave it at that.
Okay. Did you listen to, or do you still listen to, like Mandarin music?
Yeah, actually, a funny story. Not much at all, but my mom sends me music. So once in a while, she'll send me a song, and that's where I get my popular Chinese music from.
And is it good?
Oh, yeah, I love it, and it's from my mom, so okay, even if so I don't like it, I'll still listen to it a few times just so I can talk to her and be like, yeah, I listened to that song, this is what I thought about it. But I do listen to other, like Asian music, so like a Korean pop a little bit. I haven't been keeping up, but there's a couple bands, I suppose, that I like a little bit more, so tend to look at their stuff a little bit more. Something like Big Bang is one that...
That's a Chinese band?
No, that's a Korean band.
Oh, Big Bang.
Mm-hmm. They're quite popular in Korea, and... I think they have a pretty wide global following as well.
Hmm.
Yep, and SNSD, Girls' Generation, that's another big one in Korea. I think Korea pop probably has the most prevalence worldwide.
Korea pop is leading the way.
Yeah, definitely. Hmm. From the Eastern, the Asian scene, I would say Korea pop is definitely up there.
Huh. Okay, I'm tempted to get into a conversation there, because I used to live in Japan, mm-hmm. and they take their J-pop very seriously.
Yeah, definitely.
But
yeah.
I'm not one to weigh in. Have you ever heard of Kid Koala?
No, I have not. No.
So Kid Koala is a turntablist,
okay.
musical artist from Canada.
Mm-hmm.
He was popular back around 10 years ago, sort of in my day.
Okay.
And I really want to play you a song of his. It's called The Emperor's Main Course in Cantonese.
Yeah, awesome.
So he's going to be cutting the hell out of these records.
Yeah.
And right. I could never understand what he's talking about, but maybe you can enlighten me, okay?
Right, sure. Sounds good.
Okay, so listeners at home, here is Kid Koala playing Emperor's Main Course in Cantonese on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver, BC, Canada. Starting soon, like now.
Most of those who believe they should stop find it very difficult to do so. They find it's become a deeply ingrained habit, a habit they can't change just because they want to. I know about these things because I've been through it. We invite you now to listen, and we wish you every success.
However, as a beginner, it's best to just kill everyone as fast as you can by using the pump button. ับอีเสียงควักควักควักควักควักควักควักควักควักควัก
That was fantastic. I really like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like a mix of like traditional Chinese music that I used to listen to when I was little with the awesome like DJ scratching and just the nice beat in the background. I think I'm going to go home and check out more of this guy's stuff. That was
pretty cool,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, definitely. Unfortunately, I didn't understand any of the Cantonese they were going through.
Different language?
Yeah, yeah. It's too different, man, and especially for someone like me who I just keep on losing my skill set of the Chinese Mandarin like every year. So yeah, it's not working. Don't know any of what they're saying.
Oh well. Did you like that violin?
Yeah. You know what? I actually play violin myself.
I actually did know that. Oh. I saw you at Mr. Pharmacist.
That's right.
First year.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's your
right.
Talent.
Mm-hmm. So I'm not a fantastic violin player by any means, but it's something I enjoy doing once in a while. Definitely great for unwinding. And it's always cool to like listen to sort of DJs or just artists incorporate violin into their music. For this song, it fitted really well because of what they were like the theme of the Emperor's tune, right?
Yeah.
So it just fitted really well. But otherwise, like I think it's fantastic.
I agree. Yeah, I think it's really easy for bands to fall into a trap of just guitar, drums, bass, mm-hmm. guitar, drums, bass. But there are you know certain moods and certain flows.
Yeah.
Where
yeah.
this violin that like. That vibration of...
Yeah, you know like, what? Yeah, it's fantastic. And violins are actually great in sort of the country music setting as well because they call it fiddling, and it's awesome playing fiddling as well. I never actually dabbled in fiddling myself, but it's something I look forward to doing in the future if I have time.
Ha! I wish you had your violin on you right now.
Man, yeah, I would have practiced something and it would have been fantastic. Yeah.
Okay, maybe we'll do that later. Okay, obviously, for listeners at home, you're listening to Transition State. This is the show dedicated to bridging the awareness gap between pharmacy, the pharmaceutical community, and everybody else.
Right.
So I obviously want to talk some pharmacy.
Right, for sure.
But I think first we're going to hear a couple more musical tracks. Do you know what we're going to hear?
I think we picked out something called Energy Slime. I think that's it's local and something Canadian, support our Canadian artists.
That's what we're all about.
Right, and then the track that we're decided on is called Bussin' Up. Is that right?
I think that is.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's going to be a nice funky track. We'll see what's up.
Okay, you want me to try and play it?
Yes, sir. Let's do it.
Okay, Energy Slime on CITR 101.9.
Sure, reality has to be seen in a new way, but that is not so much the interesting part of it. The interesting side of it is, where is truth in all this?
Doxa, Vancouver's documentary film festival, runs this year April 30th to May 10th. The 14th annual Doxa features 89 films, 6 world premieres, and 23 Canadian premieres. Whether it's the infamous musical Provocateurs, The Residents, or master pranksters The Yes Men, Doxa is packed to the brim with radicals, iconoclasts, weirdos, mavericks, and James Franco. For more information, go online to www.doxafestival.ca.
Let me refresh your memory. Russians. That's right. Russians, Ruskies, communists, communists. Oh, now you remember.
Hello, hello, hello. My name is Russian Tim, and I'm the host of weekly punk rock radio show called Rocket from Russia. Every Tuesday, 10:30 to 11:30 a.m., Rocket from Russia is aired on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, or CITR.ca, anywhere where internet is paid for. On the show, I play new, local, and international punk rock, and I also do interviews with members of punk bands and people from the punk rock scene. If you'd like to check out the previous interviews, episodes of Rocket from Russia, and the list of upcoming shows in Vancouver, head down to my blog, rocketfromrussia.tumblr.com. Great success!
I feel
Oh, that was fantastic. I really like that last one. Kim Mortal Serenity. Sincerity, sorry. Kim Mortal Sincerity.
It's still playing?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a little outro. It's the last song. Okay. Well, obviously we meant to do that. Okay, I agree. That's a great song.
Yeah, man.
Welcome back.
Yeah, definitely. It's Canadian. It's local. Supporting female artists. I think it was fantastic.
Yeah, it's beautiful and heartwarming.
Mm-hmm.
That was Sincerity by Kim Mortal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, definitely great morning tune. Loving it.
Okay. Well, for all of those listeners out in Radioland, you're listening to Transition State. This is the show by pharmacy students for pharmacy students and everybody else too. With me is David Kai.
Yeah. Hi, everybody.
Okay, David. Now we're going to talk pharmacy. So
let's do it.
Ready for the Q&A?
Yes, sir.
Okay, first question. Why do I feel like one day I'll be working for you?
That's not true, man. You got this radio thing going on. It's fantastic. I want to be more like you.
I do have the radio thing, yeah. But why do I get the feeling, David?
No, definitely not. But you know what? It has always been a dream and an ambition of mine to eventually own a pharmacy, whether it's with a chain store or independent. It's something I'm looking to do. And I don't think if you do would eventually like to work for me, hey, man, I'd be more than happy to take you on board. You're going to be a fantastic pharmacist.
So. Okay. Let's give some of our listeners some background there. So. Me and David are both pharmacy students.
Yep, that's right.
And pharmacy students are very segregated within their year. So I'm a year ahead of David, so I'm supposed to be smarter and better.
David is
the one. Okay, let me ask you. You just finished second year.
That's right.
Were there any highlights for you from second year?
Yeah, man. Second semester, second year is rough. It's a grind. You get through it, but it's a grind. We started on basically the first or second day of exams. And we finished on the second last day. It was just boom, 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 exam after exam. And by the end, it's really hard to keep caring about your exam marks. It's just, I just want to pass and just want to chill in my bed and do nothing. That's, yeah.
But is there anything that stands out as like a high point, like a highlight of the whole year?
I think personally, right, there's a few and it differs between person to person.
Yeah.
And I actually did a whole like year-end video with my year about this, like what was the highlight of the year for you, what was your favorite memory. But for me personally, I really enjoyed hanging out with my friends. Like no matter how hard times get, you always have your great friends there to like hang out with, talk it out, whatever your issue may be. And we're always there to encourage each other, cheer each other on. And it really helps us preserve and go through the hard times. And some of us are really keen, so they provide really good notes for the rest of us. And that, you know, that helped me so much throughout this year.
Okay, friends, good answer. I thought you were going to say...
Skits night, hey? That's probably the generic one that everybody
night,
goes for.
Yeah.
Yeah, so if for people that are not familiar, skits night is a yearly sort of skits night that we put on.
Every year puts on their own skit.
Exactly.
And the faculty teachers do one too.
Yeah, it's an annual thing and we compete.
It's huge bragging rights.
Oh, definitely. So a lot of people would say the second year, which is my year, robbed Adam's year, which is the third year of their win. But you guys have one from last year already, so give us one.
Yeah, we won last year. It was definitely a highlight of that year. Actually, I thought you were going to say when you joined the BCPHA Student Ambassadors.
Yeah, that's another huge one for me. It's something that I've been working with, and that's how me and Adam sort of started getting in touch with each other. And it's been a fantastic experience, and I'm going to continue working really hard for them.
I got to say, you've been doing great work, David.
Thank you, sir. And it's hard to sort of put it in a nutshell. But everything I do for the BCHA, it's you go out there, you make connections with people, you get to know the association better. There's little perks that comes with being an ambassador, and we go to the conference. And
yeah,
it's gonna be fantastic.
That's what, 2 weeks.
Yeah.
You excited about that?
Oh, definitely. I'm so excited.
Victoria.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well then, can I ask what got you into pharmacy like in the first place?
Yeah. So I'll tell you guys about my background. So before pharmacy, I was in pharmacology, and it wasn't that like prestigious pharmacology at UBC.
I just want to explain for the listeners. So yeah. Pharmacy is designed to teach you the art of sort of being a pharmacist.
Right.
Where pharmacology is more of training in the science behind, more like drug research,
right, yep.
Stuff like that, lab science.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So so I used to be in pharmacology, and how the sort of a job prospect would differ is In pharmacology, your routes are a little bit more limited. So mm-hmm. you would work for a drug company, and that would require something like maybe a master's or a PhD, because with a BSc, it's too common. There's too many people with a BSc. Yeah. So it's going to be really hard to find a job as well. If you do end up working for a drug company, you're going to be doing something quite basic that doesn't really utilize your knowledge. Maybe like as a drug rep, you just go out there, try to sort of convince people to start using your brand of medication or something like that. Whereas a pharmacist, your job opportunities are a lot more diverse. There are a lot of avenues to go. I can name the few popular ones off the top of my head, but there's way more that you can go get into. So the few popular ones, the biggest I would say is a community pharmacy. So that's your Shoppers Drug Mart, London Drugs, Safeway, what have you. And it's in the community. They sort of are the primary line to help people out. And then the second most popular would probably be a hospital pharmacy, where you would work in a hospital setting. A little bit more collaborative, perhaps, with doctors, nurses, what have you. And there are other routes, like the industry, and even for the government, something that BCPHA is lobbying for, right? So you talk to more people in the government, the legislation, maybe even policy making some days. I think pharmacy is very, very exciting. There's a lot of avenues to go, and that's one of the major reasons why I chose it. And as well, it comes a little bit more financially rewarding as well, which is always nice. Yeah. And job stability. So those are the few things that really entice me into pharmacy.
Yeah, I mean, you could get into education.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
Or you can do, like, what some people do is they sort of, the great thing about pharmacy is it's almost free to do a bit of each.
For sure,
some people are consulting here, lobbying here. They're on
consulting
boards.
Is another big one.
Yeah.
Like, once you've worked in whatever setting for a long time, you can help newer people out. They'll pay you for that service, and I think it's fantastic.
Okay.
Lots of different avenues to choose from. That's what's exciting about pharmacy.
Awesome. What do you think is the biggest sort of problem or challenge facing like the future of pharmacy today?
There's a few. So I think one that's been talked about a lot of is perhaps job stability with the amount of generic cutbacks that's been going on with the government basically taking out a little bit of money from the healthcare budget or the pot of money that's given to the healthcare professionals. I think it is a valid concern, and it may pose some challenges for, I guess, some pharmacists. But this is where sort of you have to work harder, smarter, and find different ways to earn that same wage comes in. So perhaps going through different avenues and then just coming out with new innovative clinical services. Something that BCPHA is advocating for is the genomic services, right?
Right.
And of course, I'm not just doing this because I'm ambassador. I think these are really valid, like very valuable services that can be provided to people. So that's something BCPHA is spearheading and they're actively involved in.
Can I just briefly explain?
Yeah, for sure.
The genomics project is basically taking genomics testing, which every day is getting faster and cheaper and better, take that out of big like academic labs and putting that into pharmacies.
That's right.
So not basically to test your whole genome, but specific parts of it as they relate to certain medications.
Exactly. So an example would be warfarin. Sometimes there's an enzyme that if it's mutated, you can find out through genomic testing, and it would affect how much warfarin you should take. So what warfarin does is it thins your blood. So for people that need to take warfarin for blood clotting reasons, so sometimes they get some toxicity and they get some adverse drug reactions because
dose is too high.
Exactly. Yeah. So if you do some genomic testing, it minimizes the adverse effects, and you get into the therapeutic ranges where you want to be, basically the desired dose, faster. And that's one advantage of the many that comes with genomic testing.
Yeah. I just want to shout out to Dr. Nislow. Dr. Nislow at UBC Pharmacy is the one spearheading a lot of that.
That's right.
And he is a friend of the show.
Mm-hmm.
He is going to join us this fall, and he personally donated one DNA full sequence to our fund drive efforts.
Oh, yeah.
One of our donors got to get his DNA sequenced.
Yeah, man. I'm jealous of that guy.
I know. Pretty cool, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, David, we only have a few more minutes, and there's one thing I'm dying to go through. Maybe you know, or maybe our listeners don't know, but right now is busy time for the fourth years.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
They're about to write their OSCE exams and licensing exams and be full licensed pharmacists.
Yep. Very close. That last step.
I want to reward the few loyal listeners of them who are listening in and do some mock OSCE questions Q&A with you right now.
Sounds good, man. Let's do it.
Obviously, these are not meant to replicate actual OSCEs, so we are not taking any responsibility here.
Yep.
These are just for patience listening. But yeah, okay, ready?
Yeah.
I'll start us off.
Okay, so I'll be answering. You're going to ask me, or do
you wanna... I ask you, okay. And then you ask me.
Sure.
But keep in mind, let's have a disclaimer here, because I feel like a bit of a low point after the year I just had. It was very hard. The exams.
Yes.
Nine exams. It was all intense.
Yeah, definitely.
A lot of pressure, mm-hmm. and I'm out of gas. Mm-hmm. So I hope that people won't mistake like my current, you know, I'm in wind down mode. It's summer. Yeah. Don't mistake this for what your average pharmacist knows, because in generally they're quite sharp.
That's right.
And I'm about to embarrass myself, but okay.
No, it's fine. And we are students, so sometimes we haven't brushed up on things. And
right.
There's going to be some hiccups. Our answers won't be perfect, but we'll see how it
goes. And I will embarrass myself. But everybody at home, feel free to answer along or call in if you know the answer.
Let's do it. Yeah, I'm excited.
Okay, first question.
But okay, give me questions that I know, because I'm a second year, right?
So. Well, okay, I want to do more like, let's say that, just imagine that for some reason me and you, we're not fully trained for it yet, but okay. We just decide to write the OSCEs right now.
Okay.
We'll do our best. Like, sure. It'll probably be embarrassing.
Sure, all right, okay. Let's do it.
Number one, vaginal contraceptive film and vaginal contraceptive foam.
Yep.
How do these products work?
Oh my goodness, okay. Starting off with sort of a little bit of a taboo topic.
What's taboo about the vagina?
I guess some male pharmacists especially may have sort of an awkward time talking about it, but hey, I'm comfortable, so
good.
I'll give you the full rundown, or what I know at least.
Okay.
So as far as I know, with the contraceptive film, I would imagine something of a more barrier method, perhaps that's what you're thinking.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the vaginal condom that you can insert into the vagina prior to intercourse. Along with the foam, though, I would imagine something more like spermicide. I'm not sure if that's completely correct.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, because I haven't learned about these things yet. I would assume that's the main difference. And then I suppose there's also the comfort factor and what you like, really. Like, but from what I've learned in school, I would say the barrier method is the most safe, just mm-hmm. Just for the sake of preventing STIs and anything else STI related. I've always known that the barrier method is the safest, and it's the one that sort of the most bang for your buck, I suppose. With the other ones, you're making some trade-offs, I suppose. So no barrier method you get where I'm going. So that's my personal take on it. So
I'll give you that. Okay, do you have a question for me?
Yeah. Okay. So it's something that we learned a lot about.
Oh dear.
So insulin. For diabetics.
Yes.
A lot of diabetics use what's called an insulin pen.
Yes.
So for those that are not familiar, it's just insulin that's been put into a syringe that you inject yourself with. So Adam, why don't you take the listeners and I through the steps of using an insulin pen for people that are maybe perhaps diabetic, and for anyone else that are just curious about how a insulin pen works.
Okay. I'll start by mentioning that the first time we did insulin pens in second year, the first demo I ever had to do with the prof, I dropped it and failed it and had to redo it.
Oh my goodness.
But I do know that it's not a syringe, first of all. It's got these little like cartridges that go in the, the pen.
Mm-hmm.
It depends on which type of insulin. There's long acting and short acting, but
that's right.
Some are cloudy and some are not. Mm-hmm. Some are suspension, so you'll have to warm it up or shake it.
Yep.
You want to test it to make sure, you got to squeeze the bottom, do like a one unit or whatever.
Yep.
To make sure there's no air in there.
That's right.
You got to get that needle on there. It sort of screws on.
Yep, it's a one-time use needle, and then once you're done with it, you dispose of it.
Yes. You dial it in, your amount. It's got to be a subcutaneous injection.
Yep, so for anyone that's not familiar, subcutaneous is below the skin.
Below the skin,
mm-hmm.
basically into the body fat, so around the gut, the thigh. Right.
Yep, and there's some good areas. Do you know why we choose something like the thigh or perhaps the abdomen area?
Rapid absorption?
Yeah, that's right. So something like the thigh you use a lot of, so maybe walking around, standing, what have you. So once you jab it in there, because you're moving that muscle a lot, it enhances the rate of the medication going to your body, and that's desirable, especially if you're having a meal. You want that rapid release. And with the injecting into the abdomen, the reason is the fat in the abdomen actually absorbs the insulin rather quickly, and it's, I guess, a little bit of localized action as well, because the food is in the stomach area. So,
okay.
Yeah.
And then what, you jab yourself, then you're good?
After you jab yourself, you want to keep the needle in there for a few seconds just to make sure all the medication gets absorbed. And then what do you go from there, Adam?
I'm stuck on, like, on the pen. Is it like an EpiPen? You just stab yourself and it goes in automatically, or you have to, like, press the plunger?
You have to press the... So before you use it, you have a unit dial on the back. So yeah, you would dial however many units you need. And then once you jab it into whatever muscle you desire, probably rotating around the abdominal area. And then you press it in. You wait for a few seconds. And after that, you take out your needle, put the cap back on, throw it into your Sharps disposable container, and from there you just cap the pen back up, and you're good to go. The insulin, once opened, is good for 30 days, so most people will probably finish their cartridge by 30 days. So yeah, it's
you should keep it on you at all times.
Yeah, definitely, especially during meals. And I think it depends on the type of insulin you're using as well. The rapid acting you would use during a meal, and if you're using something long lasting, maybe a little bit earlier or at a certain time during the day. I think diabetes is something really big we learn about in third year, so I haven't had quite as much exposure to it. But we can talk about
glitazones. Lots of fun stuff for diabetes.
Yeah.
Oh, that was fun, but we're almost out of time. Okay, I have one quick mock OSCE question for you.
Yes, sir. Let's do it.
Okay, a patient comes in and asks you, what's the difference between Tylenol and Advil?
All right, simple one. This is one that I've explained to all my friends, basically, and one that...
1 minute.
All right, let's do it. So Tylenol, it's great for headaches or maybe a little bit of hangover. That's a trick you can use. Advil is more for bruises, sort of trauma, if you will. And the reason is because Advil actually goes through a different mechanism where it'll stop inflammation. So inflammation comes from any trauma to the skin, to the body. So if you don't have any trauma, like maybe falling while playing soccer, getting yourself injured, sprained ankle, any of that, Tylenol is really your way to go, especially for a headache or anything minor. But if it's something a little bit stronger, you have a headache, fever is a big one, any bruising, any of that, then Advil is the best way to go. The generic is called ibuprofen. You don't have to pick up the brand name. Generic is just as good. I hope that clarifies the difference a little bit.
All right. I'll give you a pass for that. You don't get full credit because you didn't say cyclooxygenase.
Well, I'm explaining.
You know, they're hard asses on the OSCE.
Oh yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm explaining to the masses, everybody out there.
All right, pretty good. I think we did pretty good.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
All right. Well, that's about all the time we have for this week, radio fans. So thanks a lot for being here, David.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you. It was a pleasure.
It was awesome to be here. Stay tuned, because next is Duncan's Donuts. He's always a treat. And tune in next week, because we got Dr. Riggs coming in. Obviously,
he's a
huge celebrity.
Professor. Yes, in the faculty, definitely.
We're going to play one more song. This is Twin River playing He's Not Real and He Ain't Coming Back.
He ain't coming back.
And that'll be coming up right after a couple PSAs. So until next week, stay cool and stay pharmaceutically sound, people.
All right, thank you again.
On February 8th, come join the Musqueam Nation in support of fundraising for their youth cultural exchange to New Zealand. Headlining the fundraiser will be Murray Porter, a Juno Award-winning blues musician, critically lauded for the interplay between his buttery soft keyboard skills and his gravelly intonated voice. The fundraiser benefits 7 Musqueam youth who will be traveling to Rotorua to explore Maori culture and how it can inform their own traditional experience. The event will be held at the Musqueam Cultural Center, located at 4000 Musqueam Avenue, on Saturday, February 8th at 7 p.m.
CITR 101.9 FM. It's what the whales are talking about.